Welcome, everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries, and we're in the Bible study, Believe What Jesus Believes, Believe in Jesus, and Believe Jesus. We're in the part of the coming destruction, part two, and today's date is January 31st, 2018, and this is a live recording. All those in favor, please say amen.
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 And we will pray now. Please, Holy Father, I ask you, God, to be with us now. I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, for the body and blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ that gives us the ability to ask, the acceptance, adoption, and so we ask you, God, now for great grace, great help, and I ask you, God, for the Holy Spirit to come as the Spirit of truth, to guide us into the truth of your word, and for wisdom and revelation. And Lord, please help us to receive the word of the living God from the living Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so it's believe what Jesus believes, believe Jesus, and here we go. The coming destruction, part two. The scriptural references are Matthew 24, 32 to 51, Mark 13, 28 to 37, and Luke 21, verses 29 to 38. And so, I think it'd be best to start off by reading the Matthew portion.
Okay, Matthew 24 again.
It's Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 to 51.
Matthew 24, 32 to 51. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom is his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, and at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 24, 32 to 51.
All right, then. And there's two more passages out of Mark and Luke, and we probably will read both of them, but not right at this moment. Jesus has predicted the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. Jesus has provided what signs will precede, what to do, and when these things shall be. He answers about the end of the age. Now Jesus asks his disciples to learn a parable of the fig tree. He tells them that they know that summer is nigh when the branch of the fig tree is still tender and putting forth leaves. In like manner, when they see all these things of which he has spoken, they are to know that it is near, even at the doors. Luke 21 adds, "So likewise you, when you see these things come to pass, know that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand." He states, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away, till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So I believe we're going to read the passage in Luke. It's Luke 21, 29 through 38.
Luke 21, 29 through 38. Then he spoke to them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." And in the daytime he was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and stayed on the mountain called Olivet. Then early in the morning all the people came to him in the temple to hear him.
The fig tree in the Bible often pictures Israel, and the two passages for this are from Hosea 9:10, and then the other passage is from Luke 13:6-10. So we're going to read both of these now.
Hosea 9:10. Hosea 9:10. "I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first fruits on the fig tree in its first season. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves to that shame. They became an abomination like the thing they loved." Hosea 9:10.
Juan, did you have Luke 13?
Luke 13:6-10.
Please.
"He also spoke this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. Then he said to the keeper of the vineyard, 'Look, for 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why does it use up the ground?' But he answered and said to him, 'Sir, let it alone this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. And if it bears fruit, well, but if not, after that you can cut it down.'" Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath.
And just to put a plug in here for marycraig.org, there's a link there to, I believe it's called TFFR, the Friendly Fire Room. And in the inventory of lessons that are on there, Reverend Jim Craig did a Sunday service on the fig tree, and it would be a real blessing for people to get an opportunity to listen to this teaching, because it takes you all through Scripture and talks about how important the encounter and the analogy of the fig tree to Israel actually is, and because it's very important. It's a very important picture. And it was from 2012. It was an absolute wonderful lesson, and I encourage people to look into that lesson now. Okay. Other trees would picture the nations of the world. Luke 21:28 says, "And when these things begin to come to pass," implying that a particular sign need not be full-blown to be recognized. This sign foreshadows the main thing for us to do: look for the Savior. And the reference to this is from Philippians 3:30.
There is none.
Okay, try 3:3.
Philippians 3:3. "For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoiced in Jesus Christ, and have no confidence in the flesh."
Okay, well, maybe it's just a typo error, so we tried.
Still scripture.
Yeah, oh, it's still a wonderful scripture. "We are ready for Jesus' return. We are to be in a state of at ready, Jesus says. But of that day and hour, no one knows, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. People did not know the day when judgment would strike in the days of Noah. God miraculously preserved Noah and his family in the ark. The covenant of God with Noah was a covenant of grace, a covenant of preservation, both of people and living creatures. During the days of Noah, people were just involved in the daily activities of living. They were eating, drinking, marrying, and being given in marriage. It does not say that the people were listening to Noah's message and heeding the warning. They were so absorbed in the activities of this present life that they dismissed and or forgot that judgment was coming. Building an ark seemed ludicrous. It hadn't even rained yet on the earth." The verses in Matthew 24:39-41, and we're going to read that.
Matthew 24:39-41. "And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left."
So the verses in Matthew 24:39-41 do not apply to any rapture of the church. It means taken away in judgment. A division is coming. Some people will perish in judgment and be taken away. Others will remain to enter into the kingdom. "And knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, one shall be taken and the other left." Just to reiterate that. Okay, so what to do? "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord does come. You best know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken up. Therefore, you also be ready, for in such an hour as you think, not the Son of Man comes." Well, Jesus used Noah to warn that people will not know the day. Now he uses the burglar to warn that people will not know the hour. There may be peace and safety, Or maybe people will just feel like there is peace and that they are safe, but then suddenly God's judgment will fall. And there's a reference to this in 2 Peter 3:10 and following.
2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. 2 Peter 3:10.
Okay. Likewise, the days will be shortened for the sake of the elect. Some think this means fewer days of tribulation. Others think this means fewer hours so that the people on earth suffer a bit less. Mark 13 adds for us to watch and pray, for we know not when the time is. So we're going to read the passage from Mark, because we read the one from Matthew and Luke.
Okay, Mark.
So it's Mark chapter 13, verses 28 through 27.
Mark 13, 28 through 37. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means will pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch.
Wow. Okay. So Mark 13 adds for us to watch and pray, for we know not when the time is. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I will say unto all, watch. So we're going to go back and read Mark 13, 33 through 36 again to emphasize the point, please.
Mark 13, 33 to 36.
Yes.
Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he will find you sleeping.
All right. Luke 21 tells us more. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged, burdened with... I'm going to need your help with that word.
Surfeiting.
Okay, surfeiting, dissipation, and drunkenness, and cares of this life, and so that the day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell sitting on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. So So there's some definitions here of some of these words to give it the impact that it deserves. Suffering.
Suffering.
I'll spell it so because I'm not doing well with pronouncing it. It's S-U-R-F-E-I-T-I-N-G.
Maybe surfeiting.
Okay. The definition of this word, which will give it the impact, is to cause someone to desire no more of something as a result of having consumed or done it to excess. So it's actually a person, I am suffocated with shopping, which is to saturate, sate, gorge, overfeed, overfill, glut, cram, stuff, overindulge, fill. And the synonym of that is saturate. And here's how it's used. We will all be surfeited with food. Okay, and here is some descriptions of the word dissipated, and it used in the context of dissipated living. A descent into drunkenness and sexual dissipation, debauchery, decadence, dissoluteness, dissolution, intemperance, excess, overconsumption, self-indulgence, wilderness, and two others would be depravity and degeneracy, and
Profligacy.
Okay, and the synonyms of dissipated living is licentiousness, promiscuity, drunkenness, and drunken dissipation.
Antonyms
is asceticism. Okay, that was the first grouping of words. Okay, that's two different groups of words that describe what the Lord Jesus was talking about. And here
he cautions them against being secure and sensual or carnally minded. And he's cautioning them, you're not thinking about heavenly or spiritual things, you're just thinking about satisfying
the flesh.
And
then another word, which was the squandering, the snare that people fall into, is squandering of money, energy, or resources, the dissipation of the country's mineral wealth. Synonyms is squandering, frittering away, waste, or misspending. So what do we have here? It's just like Wanda said, you know, to put it in more of a practical term. And here's the rundown. Know that Jesus is near. Watch therefore and pray. Pray specifically that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be overcharged with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so you won't be ensnared and unaware. The big warning is, watch, therefore, and pray, and be ready. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? The answer is that servant whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. But doing what? Knowing Jesus is near and living accordingly. Watching for the Lord's coming, be ready, at ready, for Jesus appearing. And that's what Stephen Craig would say We have to get right with God and get it right with God. Okay. The servant, that servant is blessed. And that servant is faithful and wise. That servant will be made ruler over his Lord's household. There is purpose here. To give those in the household food in due season. And I was thinking about that scripture about all those who love their Lord's appearing. Do you know where that's at? Somewhere in Thessalonians? Yeah. Because that's... Wanda's looking the scripture up, so we'll find it in just a second. All right, well, when she finds it, we'll read it out, because I believe it's in Thessalonians.
Look at all those who love this.
Love his appearing. I'm almost sure it's in Thessalonians. Okay, so that servant is blessed. That servant is faithful and wise. That servant will be made ruler over his Lord's household. There is a purpose here. To give those in the household food in due season. Just to repeat that. So, like Joseph, that servant will be put in charge over all his Lord's goods. Jesus turns from outward events to inward attitudes. All elect persons go to heaven, but not every true believer is ready to meet the Lord. All judgment has been given to Jesus Christ. When he returns, he will sit on his judgment seat and judge his own people. The references here are Romans 14, verses 10 through 12.
Romans 14, 10 through 12. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God.
I found some verses in 2 Timothy having to do with loving his appearance.
That's it, Timothy.
2 Timothy 4:8 is
thousand.
Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearance.
Yay! So I just felt like that really worked in with this. Okay. And so, all judgment has been given to Jesus Christ. When he returns, he will sit on his judgment seat and judge his own people. The second reference to this is from 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 11.
2 Corinthians 5.
I had the T in my head, the wrong T.
Close.
2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 11. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well known to God, and I trust are well known in your consciousness.
Okay. Judgment begins with the household of God. This isn't about judging our sins. They were judged on the cross. And the reference here is Romans 8, 1 through 4. It's very important.
Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Jesus Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
This is about judging our works and giving reward to those who will receive them from God's gracious hand. And here is a passage, 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15.
1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. And if anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward.
We have today, we are to think about loss of reward and loss of opportunity. God's people are called a household. Galatians 6:10 and Ephesians 2:19. I'm going to grab Ephesians 1. Thanks.
Galatians 6:10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6:10.
219, please. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Is that Ephesians 219?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
God's people are called a household. There was the scripture references to support that. God puts servants over each household in order to feed the members. People under rulers are to be fed. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4.
The elders who are among you I exhort. I am who a fellow elder and witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4.
And didn't the passage from Timothy also talk about a crown as well?
I believe so.
So there's the crown of glory?
The rewards.
Crown
the
of glory.
For the
rewards and
for service and obedience, willing obedience.
And so that's two different crowns right there. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. The reward for obedient service is the capacity for greater service and to have a place of ministry in Jesus' kingdom. 1 John 2:28. Wanda, do you want to grab 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20?
1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming.
1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown or rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. So he's saying that the people that he has evangelized are a crown of rejoicing to him.
This is awesome. And there's also a scripture somewhere that I hopefully I won't goof this up too bad. I don't have it memorized, but it does say if when you are taught by your Bible teachers, you're obedient and you're following in the ways of Jesus Christ, your Bible teachers should rejoice in that. Like there should be. It has a good effect on them as well. Yeah, so it has a... All right, so whenever the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and shall begin to beat his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, possibly cut him from the rest of the servants, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And in the daytime, Jesus was teaching in the temple. And at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him. And this is a quote from Luke 21:37-38. Okay, and we have got to the point where we are at, what does Jesus believe? But prior to that, I'm going to ask Mr. Valinsky to read this passage from the Amplified, because it's pretty packed out. It's Mark chapter 13,
28-37.
That's it.
Okay. Then one of the scribes came up and listened to them disputing with one another, and noticed that Jesus answered them fitly and admirably. And he asked him, which commandment is first and most important in all? Jesus answered, the first and principal, one of all commands, is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, and out of and with your whole soul, your life, and out of and with all your mind, and with your faculty of thought, and your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. This is the first and principal commandment. The second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said to him, Excellently and fitly and admirably answered, teacher. You have said truly that he is one, and there is no other but him. And to love him out of and with all the heart and with all the understanding, with the faculty of quick apprehension and intelligence and keenness of discernment, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, discreetly, and having his wits about him, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And after no one ventured or dared to ask him any further question.
Well, and that was, Mark 12, 28-37. Okay, so what does Jesus believe? Jesus believes in helping his disciples discern the times. They are to learn a parable of the fig tree, how to discern the seasons. They are to know that this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled of which he has been telling them. He declares the truth. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Number two, Jesus believes the exact time of his coming. The day and hour is known only by his Father, but as in the days of Noah, people will be going about life as usual until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They didn't know until the flood came and took them away. It will be like that when the Son of Man comes. Dot, you got a Bible?
No.
I'm sorry.
You got a Bible?
No.
I don't. Let me get one over there.
Okay. Here, you can have mine. Okay.
What do you want me to find?
24:39-41.
Mark?
Matthew, sorry.
Matthew
29? 24:39-41. Okay, three.
Wait.
Jesus.
Matthew 24. I can't. 39-41.
Number three, Jesus believes there will be a dividing of people.
41.
The verses in Matthew 24:39-41, you want to read that?
And did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the herd, one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. That's it for us.
Okay.
That should be it.
Okay, the verses in Matthew that she just read do not apply to any rapture of the church. It means taken away in judgment. A division is coming. Some people will perish in judgment and be taken away. Others will remain to enter into the kingdom. Sobering.
I always thought that was referring to the rapture. That's interesting.
So if you're taken away, it's for judgment.
Yeah, for judgment.
So the non-believers have their judgment, and those in Christ will remain.
Well, it says before that, the flood, they were eating and drinking until they were taken away. So mm-hmm. It kind of, the ones that were taken away were the ones that didn't enter the ark.
No, you're right.
If you want to parallel those two things.
Well, at least a destruction either way, whether you drown from the flood or whether you're taken, they're both destruction for the non-believer.
Judgment.
Yeah, judgment, exactly. Yeah.
And this is saying in one of the commentaries, Gil, and took them all away. This is talking about Noah. The whole world of the ungodly, every man, woman, and child, except eight persons only, Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives. For the deluge was universal and reached all the inhabitants of the world, all who perished in it except the above persons. Also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Such shall be as it was the case of the Jews before the destruction of Jerusalem. They gave themselves up to all manner of wickedness and uncleanness. They disregarded the warnings of Christ and his apostles. They were careless and secure of danger. They would not believe their ruin was at hand. When it was just upon them, they buoyed themselves up to the very last, that a deliverer would arise and save them. They cried, peace, peace, when sudden destruction was nigh, even of them all, their nation, city, and temple, a few only excepted, as in the days of Noah. And though they were so much like the men of that generation, yet they themselves say of them, the generation of the flood have no part in the world to come, nor shall they stand in the judgment. And this is talking about the destruction of Jerusalem, but I think also that alludes to, it's a pattern. It was a pattern in the flood. It was a pattern in Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It's a pattern in the time to come.
Right. Yeah.
That we need to watch and
take it serious.
Yeah.
It's sobering. Because no one knows the hour.
Yeah, prophecies a lot of times have a local, you know, a fairly common coming to happen, and then there's a far off. It's a pattern.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of time prophecy, like even a prophecy like of a child being born, that happened in some form in Isaiah, but the one it really referred to was the coming of Christ.
Yeah.
In the long run, in the short run, there was a local fulfillment of a child being born, and that's what this is reminding me of. It's like it is a pattern, and we can look at the flood, we can look back at Jerusalem, but that gives us like a wake up,
mm-hmm.
wake up call.
Well, it looks like the patterns of destruction that's happened in Jerusalem elevated throughout time. Like, remember when they were carted off? Like, they've been through the ringer. Like, they had been warned in the past, and God, when he had sent Jeremiah to prophesy, he backed up with the destruction and them being carted off, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they
Babylon,
were warned
yeah.
again, you know, and about the coming destruction. Jesus warned them. They didn't believe that. Which it would be very difficult to. I'm not going to say I would believe it because I don't know.
It's nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The nature of all. Yeah.
Yeah. It would. Yeah. It's hard to say what we do. I mean, it's not a matter of. But we do have the patterns, and we are looking at it for that reason, to sober up and to think about it,
and
take it serious.
And the call is to everyone, Gentiles and Jews. Also.
Now it is.
Still.
Now it is.
Yeah.
For sure. Now the call goes out way beyond. Very sobering. Okay, so
number three, maybe. What does Jesus believe?
You want me to read it again?
No. You were at two. I was wondering if
you said three, dividing of people.
Yes.
That was the last thing you mentioned. Oh, I thought we just read, because Matthew 24, okay. Jesus, number three, Jesus believes there will be a dividing of people. The verses from Matthew that we just read
right. Do
not apply to any rapture of the church. It means taken away in judgment. A division is coming. Some people will perish in judgment and be taken away. Others will remain to enter into the kingdom. Number four, Jesus believes in giving instructions on what to do. Here's the rundown. Know that Jesus is near. Watch therefore and pray. Pray specifically that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be overcharged with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of life, so you won't be ensnared, unaware. Be ready. And it's just like in the days of Noah, so it's okay. Number five, Jesus believes in addressing both outward events, actions, and inward attitudes. Disciples should be faithful and wise servants, governing over their Lord's household so as to give to the household food in due season. The servant is blessed whom his Lord, when he comes, shall find so doing. Number six, Jesus believes in being faithful. That's us. He already is. The expectation is us being faithful to Jesus, because he's already been the faithful one, the faithful amen. And the faithful servant will be made ruler over his Lord's goods. He will receive more responsibility. God's people are called a household. And we read both scriptures on that. That was from Galatians 6:10 and Ephesians 2:19. God put servants over each household in order to feed the members. People under rulers are to be fed. We read the reference. It's from 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. The reward for obedient service is the capacity for greater service and to have a place of ministry in Jesus' kingdom. And the references for this are from 1 Thessalonians 2:19 and 20. Wanda read that, and then 1 John 2:28, and John read that. Number 7. Jesus believes in separating the evil servant from the faithful servant. It is a heart issue here. Whenever the evil servant shall say in his heart, "My Lord delays his coming," and shall begin to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looks not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, possibly cut him from the rest of the servants, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is a reference from Matthew 24:48-51. Jesus believes in warning. And this is from Matthew 13. So we're going to try this again because I didn't do this right last time. Have your dad read it.
Okay.
I'm going to try this again, Mr. V, because I put you under the wrong thing before.
Mm-hmm.
It's Mark 28-37. Right there to the end. And this is the warning. Jesus believes in warning. Here's the warning.
Now learn a lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its branch becomes tender and it's put forth its leaves, you recognize and know that summer is near. So also when you see these things happening, you may recognize and know that he is near at the very door. Truly I say to you, this generation, the whole multitude of people living at that one time, positively will not perish or pass away before all these things take place. Heaven and earth will perish and pass away, but my words will not perish or pass away. But of the day or that hour, not a single person knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on your guard, constantly alert, and watch and pray, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man already going on a journey when he leaves home. He puts his servants in charge, each with his particular task, and gives orders to the doorkeeper to be constantly alert and on the watch. Therefore watch, give strict attention, be cautious and alert, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning. Watch, I say, lest he come suddenly and unexpectedly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to everybody, watch, give strict attention, be cautious, active, and alert.
There's the warning. Good job. Okay. Mark 13 adds for us to watch and pray, for we know not when the time is. The Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch, lest any coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, again, watch. And that reference is from Mark 13:33-36. Luke 21 tells us more.
Luke 21, and take heed to yourselves,
lest at any time your hearts be overcharged, burdened with surfeity, dissipation, and drunkenness, and cares of this life. And so that day come upon you unawares, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell sitting on the face of all the earth. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man.
Praise God.
Thanks. Okay, and we've gone over the definitions of surfeiting and to saturate, etc., and dissipated living and licentiousness, promiscuity. So I don't see any reason to repeat this. Number 9, Jesus believes in judgment. All judgment has been given to Jesus Christ. When he returns, he will sit on his judgment seat and judge his own people. The references to this are Romans 14, 10 through 12, 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 11, and we read those out earlier. But I think because they're so important, I think we'll reread those. Romans 14, 10 through 12. John and Wanda, you want to get 2 Corinthians 5, 8 through 11, please.
Okay, Romans 14, 10 through 12.
Please.
But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us shall give account of himself to God.
And 2 Corinthians 5, 8 to 11. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are well-known to God, and I also trust are well-known in your consciences.
I'm trying to find that scripture where it says judgment. Okay, here we go. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. I think it's from 1 Peter 4:17. Did it come up?
Okay. What was it again?
1 Peter 4:17 in unison. All right then. We're getting the hang of this now.
1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God.
All right.
And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God?
What does it say then?
After that?
Yeah.
Now, if the righteous one is scarcely saved, where will the ungodly and sinner appear? It says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing so as to a faithful creator.
Faithful God. All right. So, judgment begins with the household of God. This isn't about judging our sins. They were judged on the cross. So, and that's in Romans 8, 1 through 4, a very important passage of Scripture. So I think it bears to repeat it. So would you read that out, Wanda? Please.
Condemnation.
Romans 8, 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. But the righteous requirement of the law, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit.
Well, this is about judging our works and about giving reward to those who will receive them from God's gracious hand. And the reference here is 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15.
1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. 1 Corinthians 3, 9 through 15.
Okay, we have today, we are to think about loss of reward and loss of opportunity. And so now, and we're about to close, Dot, first five verses, please. And we're going to read out, I believe this is real important, and it goes right along with this.
Okay, Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever.
Revelation 6:10.
Chapter 22, verses 6 through 10.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 6 through 10. Then he said to me, "These are faithful and true, and the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show his servants the things which must shortly take place. Behold, I am coming quickly. Blessed is he who keeps the word of the prophecy of this book. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. Then he said to me, "See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant, and of your brethren the prophets, and of those who keep the word of this book, worship God." And he said to me, "Do not steal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand."
Okay. And then 11.
Okay. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me, to give to every one according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are the dogs and the sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whoever loves and practices a lie.
Wanda? 16 through 21. Hit it, Pearl.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angels to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, Come.
Come.
And let him that heareth say, Come.
Come.
And let him that is athirst come.
Come.
And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
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 How many years have you been saying that?
Oh, gosh.